Hey guys, welcome to another episode of The Way podcast, but this podcast is a little bit different. Hey Michelle.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Are you excited for today?
So excited. How are you?
I'm actually good.
Yeah?
I'm really excited to get into this. Guys, we are going to be talking about Michelle's testimony.
Yeah.
Woo, woo, woo. So yeah, we're going to hear more about her, her story with Jesus, how she came to know him, all the ins and outs and in-betweens. It's gonna be sick. You ready?
I'm so ready.
Let's get into it. So Michelle, what are you up to in life? How's life? What are you doing?
Ah, these days. What am I doing these days? Well, I'm a part of this discipleship school, discipleship year at the church I'm currently going to, and that started from September. And we'll be finishing in July. So that's been incredible, life-changing. And I'm obviously doing stuff with The Way.
Woo!
Filming, editing, digital community manager, you know what I'm saying? I'll be commenting to all of you guys on your Instagram and TikToks and hopefully YouTube. I need to get on my game. But yeah. Yeah, but that's what I'm up to. Life's been great. I've been creating a lot on my own stuff too. Big up my YouTube channel. Just kidding.
Shameless plug. You know what? You do a lot of creative stuff. Like, have you always been creative? Have you always known that was like in you?
Yeah, actually, that's a funny question, because I was studying at St. Andrews University and I was doing neuroscience.
Whoa.
And I really felt like I wasn't meant to be doing that. We can get onto that later, but that's part of my testimony where the Lord pulls me out of uni and then pushes me towards what I'm doing now. So yeah, I feel like I've always been creative. It sparked when I was around like 14, 15, when I just wanted to make cool skate videos. I just wanted to be like one of the skater
girls. She was a skater girl. Come on.
Yeah, I think that's where it all started, and I was like, oh, I would love to make like my own YouTube channel and create content on there. And I think I'm still trying to refine and like figure out what my own style is, but yeah, I've always been a bit creative.
And have you always seen God in the midst of your creativity, like even from when you were 14?
I don't think when I first started I couldn't see it, but now I'm learning like the creative process with God. It's really interesting because I'll spend time with the Lord and then all of a sudden I'll have like an idea for a video.
Mm.
Or like I'll listen to music. Music's my biggest inspiration. Whether that's worship or just normal music, like I don't know, indie folk music.
Come on.
But yeah, I think the dream is to be able to visually, I don't know, articulate what's in my heart and what God is like showing me. So like through like a lens that like God is like kind of like showing me the world, I'd love to be able to like show other people with what I create and like through that. Yeah, but
No, I love it. And I think I relate to that. I think the deeper that I've gone with God, the more that I actually see him in like the world around me. I think sometimes we can compartmentalize our faith, right? And we can think my faith is just for when I'm in church. And then when I leave church, it's just back to life.
Yeah, totally.
But actually, when you journey more with God and you learn what he's like and you learn to see him in all things, then actually he can show up in your creative work as well, which is amazing. But actually, I want to go more into how you went on that journey to like figuring out God and seeing God in like every part of your life. Like when you were younger, growing up, were you a Christian? Like, did you know Jesus? Like, what's your story?
Yeah, totally. Let's go. Let's bring it back. To
Baby Shelley
grew up in a half Christian, half Buddhist family. My mum was the main person that would take my brother and I to church on Sundays. So I was heavily influenced by just the church community because my dad was hardly in the picture when I was younger. So that's, I would say that I knew about Jesus. I went to like Sunday schools. I went to like the camps and stuff in the summer. So all I knew really was Jesus, and I didn't know much about other religions, even though I had it kind of at home. I would say, I think it was like when I was 8 or 9. We're going to go straight into like the journey of my whole testimony. But essentially, my mum and dad divorced when I was maybe like 8 or 9, which then led to my mum wanting to move back to Mongolia to be closer to her family. So then I went with her, my brother, 7 years older than me, big up Henry. He ended up staying in England. So I was born in the Lake District. I'm a country girl.
Country bumpkin.
Born in the Lake District and lived there until we moved to Mongolia. My brother stayed behind and he would finish off his A-levels to go off to uni. So when we went to Mongolia, I was like, it was a culture shock for me. I had never properly integrated into a culture like that. It was just completely different. And the language, I couldn't speak it. I'd understand it, but I couldn't speak it at all. So when I went into a school full of kids that were like fluent in it, and like, I was so lucky to have a friend that lived in America for a couple of years. So she was my like best friend for the first year that I was at that school. I got into the same school as my mum graduated from. She went to Music and Dance Conservatoire.
Wow.
So she went back to that school and started teaching piano professionally when we went back. And that's the school that I went to. I got taught by the same piano teacher she did actually when she was growing up. So it was really cool to get that experience. So learning the language, general education as well, English, maths, all in Mongolian, and then learning piano professionally at that age. Like, I'd grown up playing it, mum would teach us, but never to that level. So it was intense. It was big. It was a big change, but I fit in and I did it and it was great. And there were definitely bumps in the middle where like teachers would like compare me or whatever to this other girl, but the Lord's done a lot of healing in my heart and like now from those moments where like comparing myself to others and their ability, God's just been highlighting the fact that I'm like so unique and what I'm in, like just what I am,
mm-hmm.
what I'm doing, that I'm skilled in that too. But yeah, 3 years in Mongolia, around 12, the whole time I was there, I went to a church and I was serving in the kids ministry. So I was around the church all the time, but never really had like a personal relationship with God.
Right.
I didn't know. I didn't know that was even a thing. I just knew that people would like sing songs, worship, and read the Bible, but never like knew there was so much depth to Jesus and Christianity and following God. But it was when we came back to the UK, we ended up moving to Edinburgh because my brother was studying at a uni there. He just randomly had a Bible on his desk and I would always sit at that desk to like study. So that's another moment where I had to like integrate into a new like culture, Scottish.
Hence the accent.
Don't even know if I have one, but and like integrating into that, adjusting to how the kids are, and like a lot of them grew up with each other, so it was like I was just kind of plonked in the middle, like trying to figure out my own friend groups or whatever. My brother would have a Bible on his desk, and every time I'd go sit, there was just some, I don't know, hunger in me to like curiosity in me to just open the Bible and start reading it. And I'd start reading and words just start popping out to me. And I was like, dang, this just feels so much, I don't know, realer than I used to think the Bible was.
Yeah.
And I think the most defining moment that I knew that God was really on my case was when I was coming back from school. I was just waiting at the bus stop and I felt in my heart God saying, you need to pray for that woman. She's got something wrong with her legs. And I remember like feeling really resistant. I was like, God, I can't go up to her. She's going to think I'm so strange. And I felt like a physical nudge from my back just pushed me forward to this woman. And I was like, okay, great. Well, I'm halfway there. I kind of need to speak to her now. So I just asked her, I was like, hey, like, it's going to sound really weird, but do you have anything wrong with your legs? I'd love to pray for you. And she was like, yeah, I've got arthritis in my legs and I've had it for like years. And I was like, okay, cool. Is it okay if I pray for you? And she's like, yeah, sure. So I prayed for her and she didn't tell me what happened to her, but she got really freaked out and she just walked away. But it was in that moment that I knew, okay, God's on my case. He's really wanting to use me.
Wow.
And I think I was around like 15 at this time. So that was like a really marking moment. And from then on, my relationship with God just kind of grew naturally. I had a routine where I'd wake up like maybe half an hour before I'd had to go to school to read the Bible, and like I had this devotional plan and I'd like read it every day, and God would like give me so many cool revelations. And I think that was the first time where I really felt like God was really teaching me and guiding me, and I had a relationship with God, and I could confidently say that if someone asked me. And I think it was just as I was about to go to uni, so we were all coming out of lockdown at this time.
Terrible times.
Can't remember those 2 years. Coming out of lockdown, I'm around 17, and I've gotten into St. Andrews University, and I've moved in. At the time, I was in a relationship that I knew I wasn't meant to be in. 17's an awkward age because you feel like you're an adult, like you're 18, but you're not. You're 17, you're like, oh, what do? I want to be an adult. So I went to uni. My mum moved me up to St. Andrews. St. Andrews is like an hour and 15 minute drive, like up north from Edinburgh. And my mum moved to Mongolia back home to be a missionary. A missionary basically is what she did was she planted like kids ministry stuff around Mongolia, and also went down to like South Korea and China to like preach the gospel. That's what my mum did. She's really cool. She still does it now.
Wow.
Yeah, big up. So mum moved away as I was transitioning to uni, and then my brother got married and moved down to Cambridge. So I was a loose cannon.
That's a lot of change.
It's a lot of change in one. So I felt like my foundation that I had, like my whole family was just kind of swooped, like kind of taken under my feet. And I was like, dang, like, oh my gosh, I've got so much freedom. And like, I feel like my family have just kind of, I know it wasn't the case, but I felt like I was abandoned because everyone just left me at one time.
Yeah.
Which was really tough.
But that makes sense because you were saying how almost like your mom and your brother almost helped you lay the foundations for your faith. It was your brother's Bible, right?
Yeah.
So then to go from that to then needing them at a particularly vulnerable time in your life where you're at uni and then they're just not really not accessible, like they're not really there.
Yeah.
That must have been really difficult.
Yeah, it was really hard. And I remember, I don't know, going to different things to find comfort in and just like an escapism type thing. I'd like go out clubbing, drinking until I'm like blackout drunk. And like I was in a really like toxic relationship at the time. And I felt like if he left me or we broke up, I would have no one to go to. Like he was the only person I felt like I could, find comfort in, because everyone else around me was just gone. Like my family, they weren't there. So first year of uni was really tough. Like my mental health was really bad. I felt like I was just in a dark pit. Anxiety wise, it was through the roof. There were moments at the end of first year where I just didn't want to leave my room. To be like social with people, I just didn't want to, because I was like, they're gonna know that I'm like so anxious, not living a sick life, this like amazing uni life that everyone else is living, like I'm not living that because I'm so kind of depressed. I'm really full of anxiety. And my friends used to always ask me, Michelle, what's going on? Like, you never hang out with us anymore, because I stopped going to like my football practices and all that stuff because I was part of the football team at uni.
Oi, Michelle.
I stopped doing that and everything, and I just felt like I just fell through. Like, fell through the floor, fell through the ceiling, everything. And I knew God was there, but my relationship with God just distanced off as I got into this relationship. Because I knew it's like everything that I was doing was just not what God wanted me to do.
Right.
And every time I'd get up to something stupid, I felt the Holy Spirit say, hey, I'm still here. Wow. Like, I want to talk to you. Like, you're not alone. But then I'd actively choose to avoid that voice, which I knew was God. Fast forward a little bit, a year and a half through this relationship and uni, started second year, I would cry out to God. I'd be like, God, like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. It just feels so pointless. I feel like I'm just going to finish uni, this degree, and then get into a job, and that will be the end of my life. And that just feels so sad. And I know I'm not meant to be in this relationship, and I need your help to get out of it, because I feel trapped. Because if I get out of it, I'm not going to have anyone. No one's going to be here for me. Like, I can't go to anyone to talk or whatever, or, you know, find comfort in. And it was honestly such a God thing, because I remember crying out to God a couple of times and him saying, not saying anything, but then I'd cry out to God and be like, God, where are you? I need help. This is hard. Because I have no one. Sorry.
No, it's all right. This is real.
But he's so faithful.
Yeah.
And my ex, I went to this like uni ball. And sorry, in the evening, my ex at the time, he was like, oh, like, I love you and I'll see you tomorrow, whatever. And I wake up after this masquerade ball, because it was a hectic night, so I got home at like 5. And I had my friend staying with me in my dorm room. And I woke up to a text, a really long paragraph from my ex saying, this is why we're breaking up, this is not working, da 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 da.
Wow.
And I remember not being able to cry in my room because my friend was sleeping. So I had to go out into the corridor of my like whole floor of girls to just cry and call my mum about the breakup. And the miraculous thing is, oh, God is really faithful. He really is. I'm just crying because of his faithfulness, not because of the breakup, by the way.
I love the specification. It's amazing.
My friend that was staying with me in the room, she's not a Christian. And she was saying, it feels like a blessing in disguise. And that's when it hit me. I was like, dang, I literally prayed for this. Like, God, you're really helping me get out of this thing that I felt stuck in. And I remember later on that day, I had a deadline, by the way, that day. So I was like crying and I was like typing out this deadline to send it off.
In between study break, just crying. That's crazy.
Literally. And I remember being on the phone to my sister-in-law and being like, hey, like, I am so scared I'm going to fall deeper in this pit of anxiety that I was so struggling in first year. And I finally feel like I'm like seeing light after the, like through the tunnel, like beginning of second year. Finally feel like I can breathe, and I'm scared I'm going to fall through the ceiling again into a dark pit of, I don't know, just anxiety and depression. And she's like, but God won't let that happen to you. Let's pray. And we prayed, and I remember not leaving my room for 5 days straight, but God did a healing in my heart that was just so miraculous. I'd forgiven everything my ex had done to me, said to me. All the memories that I made with him around Edinburgh, God had like remade memories with him and I, so it would be God and me, and remade memories, and my heart wasn't broken. I didn't feel like there was a hole there anymore. God had just healed me in 5 days, and I was scared because people kept on saying like, oh, like sometimes it takes months and years to get over someone and to heal from a heartbreak. But God was so kind to do it in 5 days for me.
Yeah.
And it sounds a bit crazy to even say he healed me in 5 days. But he did. He genuinely did. And the story continues on. I remember saying, God, okay, it was actually crazy. It was 3 days before that breakup. God started rekindling something in my heart again. I'd read the Bible and words would start popping out. And I know this translation of the Bible is a bit sketch, the TPT version, but in the book of Psalms, it says like his wraparound presence. And I genuinely felt like God's arms were around me.
Amazing.
3 days before this breakup text. And I felt like I was in a really good spot with God. And when that moment came where my ex and I broke up, the first thing I ran to was God and family. And I feel like if God hadn't done that, I would have probably gone back to like drinking and drugs and all these things to find comfort in. But I didn't, because he was faithful to prepare my heart for what was coming.
It's good.
I remember saying, okay, God, you need to surround me with a community, because I know that you're now on my case and you're in my life now. This is good. Like, we're on track again. And he gave me an amazing community that I needed at the time in Edinburgh. So I'd be trekking back and forth from Edinburgh every week to go to this church. And it was midway through second year that I really felt, okay, I'm not meant to be studying this whole neuroscience thing. What am I even doing? Like, everyone wow. around me is like, I've been wanting to do this since I was younger. And I was like, I have not.
You're like, see ya.
I'm like, I've not been wanting to do this since I was young. Like, I just did it because family pressure. Like, my brother's a yeah. chemical engineer. And I was like, I want to one him up and be a neuroscientist, you know.
That's real.
And and I had the brains to, and I could probably still do it, but I don't know, not my thing. Mm-hmm. So I remember like feeling God say like, okay, no, let's take a step back from this. And I was like, dang, this is going to be a hard hit for my mum. Because my mum, oh, she sacrificed so much to me, like for me to even get to uni and have an education here in the UK. Mm. And like leaving her job in Mongolia to come back to the UK so that I could do my GCSEs and A-levels to get to uni. So she sacrificed a lot. And I remember bringing it up to her and she was like, don't be ridiculous. Like, you've only got like two more years left. Like, just stick it out and finish it off. And then you'll have a degree, unless you'll be nobody if you don't have a degree.
Wow. That family pressure, bro.
That family pressure.
Right on your neck.
I know. That's crazy. It was hectic. And yeah. I remember going back to God being like, okay, right. My mom is saying no, and you're saying be obedient to your parents. Listen to what your parents have to say. But I feel like if I take a step back from uni, that's a big, you
that's
know.
That's a big step.
That's a big step. I'm not honoring my parents right now right. if I do that. And maybe a month later, after praying that to God, being like, okay, if you really want me to leave, then you have to make a way with my mum just randomly giving me a call and being like, I really feel like God saying, just do whatever he's calling you to do. So if that means leaving uni, then you should do that.
Ah.
And I was like, bro, no way.
You see, God be answering those prayers so quickly. No, that turnaround.
He do be.
That is like express delivery prayer right there.
I know. He opened that door. And St. Andrews, so another door that had to be like opened by God was the uni itself. Mm-hmm. St. Andrews is notoriously known to be a prestigious uni. They don't like to hand out like just leaves from like your studies. Like, they don't do that.
Yeah.
My friends who have tried to, like, even with like different situations, they weren't offered that like chance to be able to leave their step back from their studies. So when I applied, I was thinking, okay, God, like, I could not get this, so I might just need to stick this out. And I remember applying, sending an email, and literally the next day I got an email back saying, you're all set for your leave from your studies, like, have a great time.
Will and Michelle was like, okay, bye guys.
And that was hectic. No, literally, it was hectic. And I was like, see you later. Moved out. I remember moving out. My mum actually came back from Mongolia for, I don't know when it was, for Christmas or New Year's. She helped me move out. She was really disappointed in me. But,
well,
I know.
God was happy. Obedience.
And she's like, you must go back, though. You must go back to uni.
Right.
And I was like, okay. Thank you for letting me take a leave. fast forward. I'm at this church that I needed at the time. Serving at the church for a whole year. But also working as a barista at Starbucks.
Shout out.
Humble.
Did you like know the menu like off the back of your hand?
Yeah,
like,
mate, I could make every frappuccino.
Is it?
Like the back of my hand.
Guys, if you need any frappuccinos for any events, you know who to hit up.
Hit me up. Genuinely hit me up. No, we worked at the busiest Starbucks. We worked at the Royal Mile. Royal Mile is like near the castle of Edinburgh. So like,
wow.
It's a busy road. And it was during the fringe time as well. Festival season. My gosh.
You were working hard.
Being at work at 5:30 and making those frappuccinos at 6. Come on.
We love a grind.
Literally a grind.
That joke was so bad.
Sorry.
So bad.
So I was serving at this church for a year, working at Starbucks. I was like, okay, God, what am I doing? Like, this feels great, like, I love serving at this church, but is this really... I didn't feel like I was meant to stay in Edinburgh for a while. Mm. Because there's nothing there for me. So I remember just praying, like, God, like, I'd love to live in London. And it was at that time, actually, where the summer of 2022 is when I first met the Way Gang. So I met people from the Way. This is where it all gets introduced. Meet people from the Way. Kane was a person that got me plugged in. Big up, Kane. We love you.
That's Kane.
And for a summer, because I've got family here in London, so 2022 summer, I was spending time with people and then going back and working and serving at this church. And there was just stuff at the time. It was beginning of 2023, maybe February, March time. I just knew that I had a feeling that God was kind of telling me, you need to leave this church. Various reasons. I don't know whether I should get into it. I won't. I'll honour them. But my family gave me a call and said, Michelle, we've been feeling this for a while. We've been praying for you and we feel like you're meant to leave the church. And I was thinking, dang, I've been feeling the same. So I left the church. It was not easy. Like my whole community that I had kind of just ignored me and shoved me away. They didn't ask me how I was when I left. Like everyone just ignored me. So I had no one in Edinburgh anymore. I didn't have people I could go to. I didn't have friends. I didn't have anyone. So I was like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And my brother and my sister-in-law were so kind. They're like, we feel like you're meant to stay with us down in Cambridge for a month just to heal and to get back on your feet and hear from God the next step. And that's what I did. And throughout that whole month of July, God taught me how to rest, like, fully. And I didn't know what rest was at the time. I was full of, just striving to, like, figure out this whole thing. I feel like this calling on my life. I feel like God said this to me, so I'm going to, like, pursue it. I'm going to, like, strive to get there, like, content creating videos and da-da-da-da. I remember, like, not first, like, moving in and staying with my brother and my sister-in-law. I just couldn't sit still. I couldn't not be up going to the gym and then creating content. I just had to do it nonstop because I felt like if I didn't, I'll be losing opportunities as the days went by. Then God was like, no, stop doing that. Rest. It was through my sister-in-law. My sister-in-law was like, you just need to chill. You just need to do nothing. I was like, I can't do that. Like, that's ridiculous. That's nonsense. Because, like, I've got this life. Because also, growing up in my family, it was like, if you sat down, you meant to get up and do stuff because you're being lazy if you're not.
Right.
So having that, growing up with that, was also a big part to play with me, like constantly wanting to do something, needing to do something, unless I'm feeling like I'm lazy and wasting time. So yeah, God taught me how to rest, and it was amazing. Like, I just was stripped away from everything, and I read the book, Ruthless and Elimination of Hurry. Is that what it is? I read that book, and like, I remember just having a revelation, like, dang, God wants us to work from a place of rest, not rest to work.
Right.
Like, we're not, yeah.
That's really good.
Crazy, right? So then I had that revelation, learned how to rest. And I remember being on a Zoom call with the Way team mid-July.
I remember that Zoom call.
I remember that Zoom call too. We were all planning dates for filming and shoots and stuff. So I remember being on that Zoom call, and at the end, telling Michael, who basically goes to our church and is the director of the Way UK.
Whoop.
I remember telling him about what's going on in my life. I'm in Cambridge. I'm resting up. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm very much in the place of God. Wherever you want me, I'll go. And he was like, we've got a discipleship year running at our church for the first time. Would you be interested? And at the time, I was actually praying, God, should I do YWAM? I would love to go to Germany. I would love to, like, do something like that. YWAM is basically youth with a mission. And they, you get teaching for 3 months and you go out and do, I don't know, evangelism elsewhere, basically. I was thinking, God, I would love to do that. And I remember praying about it. So hearing Michael say, would you be interested in a discipleship year, sparked up my interest immediately. I was like, wait, I've been praying about this along these lines, like a ministry school. I'd love to do that. So the deadline was 4 days. So I had to make a decision quick. And I remember praying. I was like, God, I need an answer. Didn't get anything. Speaking to my sister-in-law, she was like, which is not likely, if you get rejected, then you know it's a closed door from God.
Right.
But now I know at this end of being in the discipleship year that people actually did get rejected, which is crazy. Praise God. So it was meant to be. So I applied, everything went through super smoothly. And my housing and everything was all sorted. And I remember kind of talking to Michael, MYB, the director of the Way, about, like, you know, being able to finance myself in London. And he was like, yeah, like, we'll give you work, da 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 da. So I was like, okay, cool. And so this is the end of July at this time. So I end up having to go back to Edinburgh. Edinburgh until moving to London was a month. So I had a month gap to work at Starbucks.
Rack up those frappuccinos.
And have money to move down.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember praying in August, being like, God, I need reassurance. Using that exact word. I need reassurance with financing myself in London. Like, it's going to be so expensive and I don't know how it's going to work. I remember as I said, amen, maybe 2 minutes later, I get a call from Michael being like, just wanted to say, I just want to reassure you, using that exact word that I prayed.
Wow.
I just want to reassure you that I've got you as my top priority in terms of work. So please don't worry about finances. Like, you'll be all set to like finance yourself well when you're down. I was like, dang, thank you, God. That's an answered prayer right there.
Again, the express delivery.
Yeah, literally. And then moving down to London in September, things just being new but exciting.
Mm.
And starting this discipleship year, the first day that we started, we had like a whole introduction and everything. We were just all praying and worshipping. And one of the leaders of the discipleship year felt he had a word for someone in the room and said, I feel like God is saying, you just need to let your guards down. You're safe here. You can trust me and where I'm leading you. And I didn't know I needed that word. I just broke down. I was like, dang, okay, God, I can trust you. Because the history from the church that I came from and I left that year was just very toxic. And I didn't know if I could trust leaders ever again in the church, because it was really hard. So hearing that word from the leader, part of the discipleship year, was like, okay, God, I know that you're on my case and I can really trust where you're leading me and where I am right now. So that's where I am. We come to today doing stuff with The Way and being able to share my testimony on camera.
Come on.
And having gone through a lot of heart healing throughout this discipleship year, I'll share one significant one and we can maybe go on to questions. But during our teachings on Wednesday, it was completely irrelevant to what we were being taught. And we were all just kind of in a ministry time. And I remember it was literally in this room. I was looking out the window and the leaves were just blowing the leaves were blowing in the wind. And I remember just God whispering and saying he didn't know any better. And I was like, what do you mean? And I knew in my heart God was talking about my dad.
Mm.
And I was like, dang, what do you mean he didn't know any better? He's like, he thought he was loving you by leaving you. He saw himself as the problem. So he thought if he eliminated the problem, he would be loving you by doing that. And
wow.
I was like, I didn't know I needed that. And it was a revelation I'd never had before.
Wow.
And it was like an insight of like why my dad left. Because until that point, I was like, I hated my dad.
Mm.
I was like, I hate him. He's a useless excuse of a man.
Mm.
How could he leave his family and abandon us in that way? I carried a lot of bitterness towards him and I didn't know. I knew it was just festering in me. And if you had asked me like 2 months prior to that moment, would you want your dad to be at your wedding? Would you want your dad to like walk you down the aisle? Would you want your dad to be in your life again if he came? I would be like, no.
Mm-hmm.
He can just bog off. Like, I don't want anything to do with him. And coming to a point now to be able to say, actually, I'm sorry. Like, if I see him again and he comes back, I would say, Dad, I'm actually sorry for thinking all these things about you, because I knew that you didn't know any better. And I knew that, like, you thought you were actually loving me. And I remember God just saying, he does love you. He knows your birthday. He thinks about you all the time and he does love you. I remember thinking, dang, I didn't know I needed to hear those things about my dad. Like, I just had all these preconceptions in my head, like, my dad doesn't love me, he doesn't know when my birthday is, he doesn't care, da 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 da. Then God saying, no, he does care.
Mm.
I'm like, bro, what? So that was a massive healing moment in my life. I just felt like all the chambers in my heart were just open. And I felt like literally the Holy Spirit's like breath and wind was just blowing through that chamber and out, letting all the bad air out and bringing a new life and light into me.
Beautiful.
So like, it was like, that's a massive thing I didn't know I needed to just let go of and heal from and know about my dad, that he didn't know any better. So that's like one of the main key moments of this discipleship year that I can like highlight now. But yeah, God is so faithful. Mm. He really is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ain't he faithful? That's amazing. Michelle, there's just so much there to talk about. I kind of want to start with one of the last things you said and then kind of work backwards. But what you were saying about your dad and almost giving him the benefit of the doubt, it sounds like God was saying, no, like he just didn't know better. I definitely relate. And I think as children, we don't understand why things happen. Like as a child, like you don't understand like why your parents' relationship is the way that it is or why they don't have a relationship or whatever the case may be. And I have definitely felt that. And I remember like in my teenage years, I had a lot of like resentment towards my dad. Like I had a lot of feelings in my heart that I needed to lay down. And I think it's so beautiful when you get to the other side because that is just irrefutable evidence of God. It's hard. Forgiveness is hard.
Totally.
Like to undo resentment, that is not easy. Mm-mm. And in our own human efforts, we can't do that.
Yeah.
Like that takes a lot, right? Mm. And to actually almost let your guard down, to let God in and do that hard work, that is very vulnerable. Mm. And that can be really uncomfortable at times. And I don't know, I just wanted to hear your thoughts on if there's somebody listening and they're like, I know I need to forgive my parents, that I need to forgive them, or maybe I need to give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, how would you say to allow God, like, how do you let God into that healing process? What would you tell someone?
I think acknowledge it first. Acknowledge that you're upset with your parents. Because parents, at the end of the day, they are not perfect. They are facts. Trying to figure it out themselves.
I love you, Mum, but facts.
I know.
Joking.
They are just trying to figure it out as much as you are also trying to figure out your life too.
Mm-hmm.
So acknowledge that. Acknowledge the fact that you're hurt. You feel this way. But then also give yourself some space. Like if you feel like, no, this feels like there's too much. Like I can't, I don't know where to start. I don't want to even approach it. That's fine. Give yourself a break and some space to like, just, I don't know, linger kind of, I don't know. Let those heightened emotions and feelings just kind of sit a little bit.
Yeah.
So then you're not like super up in it. And you're like, super angry or whatever. And when you get to that point, pray.
Mm.
And just say, God, I don't know where to start. I feel these things towards my parents, but I know that you know exactly how I'm feeling and you know the truth.
Right.
So won't you just come in and help me like process this and heal and forgive?
Mm-hmm.
And he will. It might not be instantly, but he will. And giving God space to do that too. Like if you feel it, he brings it up in your heart again, sit with him.
Yeah.
God, what are you saying about this? It might be different because I didn't know I needed to hear that. My dad didn't know any better. And like, it might be different for your case and other people's too. Whatever your situation is, God will speak into that personally. So just invite him in. And he's faithful.
He is.
He's faithful and he will. And he will heal you. Yeah, it just comes with time. So just be gentle and kind to yourself and don't think like, oh, I need to forgive them now unless I'm not a good Christian. It's not true. It's a journey. Mm-hmm. It takes time.
I agree. I think we have to remember that God is God. Mm. God wants to intervene.
Totally.
Let God be God. Mm. Like, let's not expedite the process. Let's not rush things before it's time. Like it says in Ecclesiastes, like there's a time and a place for everything. Like God will work at his pace and we just need to be okay with that.
Yeah.
And more often than not, like when you get to the end and you get to the end of that healing, you'll look back and be like, oh God, thank you that it took that amount of time. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you for being present in the everyday of my healing and not trying to rush this thing because like rush things, they're never as good as things that take time. Yeah. And I also love what you said about acknowledging it. I think so many of us, even in society, I feel like society teaches us to like, if you have a problem with someone, just sweep it under the carpet. Like if there's an elephant in the room, just look past it. Let's just keep going. But I was reminded when you were talking about like that scripture that says that iron sharpens iron. And like the reason why iron gets sharpened is because of friction.
Yeah.
And I think in our world, people teach you to like move from bad vibes. Like if there's friction, step away. It's not good. Yeah. But actually friction leads to sharpening. Totally. And sometimes healthy friction is a good thing as well. Mm-hmm. And I think when we have resentment or things in our heart that doesn't make sense towards our parents or other like older family members, like maybe lean into that.
Totally.
Like maybe sit with that and address it and be like, okay, God, why do I feel this way? Yeah. Because in the friction, like he will sharpen you. Yeah. He will heal your heart. And he will also allow you to handle that situation a lot better as well. So I love that. I think a lot of your story is really about like leaning into what God is doing and like not necessarily, I wouldn't say like questioning God, but not being like, God, oh, I'm so frustrated with what you're doing, I'm going to back away. But actually, God, I want to lean in and come to you with this, especially when you were talking about being at uni and saying that like, even in the times where you weren't necessarily following God, you still felt that knock on your heart of the Holy Spirit being like, Michelle, what's going on? And I just wanted you to kind of touch on it a lot more because I think there's so many people, me especially, but so many people that have gone through times where, you know, you've not been necessarily following what God wants you to do. But even in like the midst of making mistakes, you still feel God. Like, how would you like encourage somebody that might be going through a season where they know that they're not doing what they're meant to be doing, but they can feel God in it being like, stop that, or like, come back to me? What would you say?
First of all, I want to say I feel you on that. I know how it is. I really do. And having the Holy Spirit reside in you, that's a good thing about Christians. Like, you know what you're doing is wrong. And that calling from God is a gentle calling. Call back. Call back to his heart. Call back to freedom. What you feel like you're doing right now might feel like freedom to the world and to you in that moment because you think, all my friends are doing it. Oh, it feels great. Like,
right.
You know, everyone's hyping it up. This is what living life is, but it's really not. Like, God is actually calling you to real freedom. And that's the heart of freedom. That's freedom good. Where you know. Freedom within boundaries. Ish. Freedom within boundaries,
that's
bro.
Good.
I mean, our world these days thinks if there's no boundaries, that's where freedom is. But there's so much freedom when it's within boundaries because then you're likely to then see the beauty where it is then there. That didn't make sense.
No, it does. It does.
But I just want to say, if you're feeling that and you're able to vocalize it and verbalize the fact that you're feeling like, oh, this knock on my heart, like every time I'm getting up to no good, that's probably a good sign that you should probably be honest with yourself, go to a service or like tell your family, whoever you're accountable to, be like, yo, I've been messing up and I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Feel like God's knocking on my heart. And start from there. It's not like a big deep end thing where you just have to all of a sudden like just separate yourself from everything. Like, give yourself time to figure it out. If you're acknowledging
Literally.
It and you're seeing it and you're like, dang, I feel this nudge in my heart every time I do something stupid, then yeah, acknowledge that and then go to a friend, family, your pastor, someone that you know that's helped you through, like, as a Christian, first of all.
Love
I
that.
Just want to say that. As a Christian you can trust, go to them and ask them to pray for you because there's power in prayer.
That's so good, Michelle. That's so good. I love what you said about that the boundaries. I think that's so interesting and actually redefining what we see as boundaries, right? I was thinking while you were talking, like, everything within context makes sense.
Yeah.
Things in context, they read better, they sound better, they just flow better. And I would actually redefine boundaries as just this thing in context. The boundaries is the context of which this thing exists in. And if you read something in context, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So if we do things within the right context, within the right boundaries, it makes sense. It feels better. It is better.
Yeah.
And God thrives in that. So I love that. And also what you said about accountability. And I know that's such a like buzzword, like a scary word, but really just like someone you trust, right? And I think a lot of your testimony and your story has been like layered on people that you trust. Like, you talked about your mom, you talked about your brother, you talked about your sister-in-law. And when you were, I guess, filling out the application for your discipleship year, your sister-in-law played like a massive role.
She did.
In that, and you almost making a decision within 4 days. Like, 4 days is not a lot of time, you know, like 4 days is okay, we need to decide now. And so like, yeah, and I wanted to ask you about, you know, accepting your discipleship year and just applying in those 4 days and making a decision. I have definitely gone through moments where you're in a position in life where you need to make a decision and you might not have a lot of time. And I think as young people, we have so many decisions to make, right? Like if it's university, if it's jobs, if it's where am I going to live, what am I going to do? And sometimes we don't even have a fast turnaround to make these decisions. So how much does your relationship with God like play a part when you make tight decisions? And I guess, how do you trust God in those moments?
That's a hectic question. My life has been full of God, I need to trust you in this, and like taking leaps of faith. Even when I don't understand, I don't have a clear answer of a yes or no, I just shoot the shot and I go for it.
Shoot the shot, Michelle.
I go for it. And if it feels like it's a door that's closed when you go for it, then that's a good sign that, great, something else, let's move on to the next thing. But a lot of the time I just end up knocking on the door. Like for the discipleship year, knocking on that door, applying and it going through and it happening. With the uni situation, knocking on the door, asking my mum, got a hard no, went to God again. No, I feel like it's a yes, I need to leave. And then my mum giving me a call, that's a door open. Mm. And then again with the whole university situation, not knowing what's going to happen, be like, I'm going to get rejected for this offer. I apply, I get an email next day saying you're great to leave for a year out. Like, it's hectic. Just knock on a door. Like, it's not... Obviously, have wisdom and don't be stupid if it's a stupid decision. Like, I don't know, moving countries, maybe did take a little bit more time to consider that. And seek wise counsel. Ask your parents and ask your family. Or ask those who trust you, you trust. But also, the Lord, he's a good shepherd. Mm. Psalm 23. He's my shepherd. I have all that I need. He is the great answer. So ultimately where the peace is, where he is, where I feel like he's leading me, that's where I'll be. That's where I'm safest, is in his will.
Come on.
So yeah, relationship with God, taking leaps of faith, mate, that's just full of my story, is in that scripture. But yeah.
You are Psalm 23. You are David. You wrote that. That's amazing. That's so good, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michelle, for just being vulnerable, like sharing your heart, sharing your story, sharing what God has done, his faithfulness, steadfastness, all that stuff. Like, oh, I'm just so honored to like be your friend and just be able to sit with you in this moment and just hear more about God, because that stirred my faith and I'm pretty sure like it's gonna help someone. Praise God. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening, watching, however you take this in. Thanks for just being here. And thanks, Michelle, for sharing. And we will see you guys next week on our next episode of The Way podcast.